Good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Man, welcome to our Wednesday night service. As you can see, we're packed. I'm glad y'all got here early for a seat. No, we had some confusion when the cafe is being closed this evening, so forgive us if we miscommunicated on that, but we're still having church, praise God. We're going to be hungry through the whole thing. At least I am, because I didn't get Liz's cooking, but she's with our dear brother and sister, Justin and Serene. Oh, she's here. Did they have the baby?
Yes.
Well, you should have cooked dinner then. I'm just joking. I'm just playing. Praise the Lord. So little Joel has been welcomed into the world, so praise the Lord for that. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Better them than me, thank God. All right, so tonight we're in part two in our study on fear. We're still in Proverbs. Our main text, of course, was Proverbs 1:28 through 33. And so, like I said last week, the Lord really led me to do this in a two-part series, and so that's what we're going to do. And, Sir Francis Bacon said about fear, he said, there is no limit to pain, or there is a limit to pain, but there's no limit to fear. And there's a lot of truth in that. When fear is out of check in our lives, it can take over every aspect of our lives and paralyze us. And we're thankful that the spirit of fear is indeed not from the Lord, but he's given us power and love and a sound mind. We're going to learn more about that tonight. But we saw that last week that when we are in fear, when we are not trusting in the Lord and we're fearful, well, that leads to different emotional traps in our lives. We said that it leads to the fear of evil, the fear of an enemy, the fear of man, and the fear of death, and that we should always expect emotional traps to follow in our lives if we're truly not trusting in the Lord, because fear will always lead to those traps. And then we saw that those traps actually resulted in two things: personal trembling, meaning we have a lack of control in our lives, we're not actually following what the Lord says, and so because of the fear and that trap that's in our lives, we become stagnant and ineffective. And then also it leads to spiritual timidity. We actually stop standing up for the moral values that God's Word teaches. And that's a horrible place for any believer to be in. But the main thing that we said was, hey, listen, fear is always the result of not fully trusting in the Lord. Every time. And that's a convicting thing for us to say, but that's really what God's Word teaches us. But is it a sin to be afraid? Oh, quiet. We don't know the answer. Yeah, me either. I had to ask Bill. Is it a sin to be afraid? No, it's not. But the spirit of fear is different. The spirit of fear is the dereliction, or it is the failure to do what God says, to be obedient to him and his word because of fear. And that is a sin. So David even said in Psalm 56:3, he said, whenever I am afraid, so the mighty King David, he was afraid at times, but he said, I will trust in you. And if you look, the most frequent command that we find in the Bible from the Lord is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that blesses me, but concerning our relationship with God, the Bible consistently tells us to fear the Lord. So we need to understand in context what that actually means, because there is supposed to be fear in our lives, but it's only supposed to be directed to the Almighty God. And so tonight what we're going to talk about is really our relationship with God and how that has to involve that emotional response to him, which is fear, because fear is that proper emotional response unto him. And then we'll close seeing that it's actually a requirement for us to have a relationship with him. If we don't fear the Lord, we'll never enter into the relationship that he desires to have with us. So let's just look to the Lord in a moment of prayer before we get in depth in our study. Dear Father, we just come before you just so thankful that we have this opportunity to worship you. And we know there's just so many needs in this congregation and even outside of our walls, especially lifting up Teddy, Father God, who's in ICU right now, just asking for a miracle from the wonder-working God, the great physician, that you would glorify yourself in the midst of that situation right now and just touch him where he is, encourage him, let him know that we are praying for him and we love him. And Father God, we also lift up the people of Ukraine. Oh Lord, the fear that has plagued them in such a face of wickedness and evil. We just ask in a way that only you can, that you would end that battle, that you would remove Putin and his power from that place and be with the Ukrainians and those who support them in a mighty way. And for us tonight, Father God, I just ask that you would truly show us what it means to fear you and just how much we miss out on when we're walking in the spirit of fear, when we allow something that your perfect love can cast out and remove from our lives, when we allow that to operate and control us, man, we miss out on so much. Lord, let us truly understand and recognize that fear is a thief. But all you have for us, Father God, is the truth, because you are the truth. And you have that love, that insurmountable love for us, your children. So help us learn tonight, Father God, what you truly require in the relationship that you want to have with us, so we can do all things that are pleasing unto you. And we just thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we say, amen. So here we are, and again, discussing fear. So let's talk about the examples on how is fear a proper emotional response unto God. And the first thing I'd say is the fear of the Lord actually refers to God's law. It actually refers to God's law. It says in Psalm 19, 7 through 9, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Isn't that beautiful? Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Just in those three verses, David has law, testimony, statutes, commandment, judgments, and fear, all meaning the same thing. Why? Because if you and I are truly fearing the Lord, as his word says, we're going to have a healthy respect for exactly what he commands us in his word. It always relates to God's law. So if we're truly fearing the Lord, we're going to have that respect, that desire to truly do all things that are pleasing to him. That means that we're going to be in God's word. And the Holy Spirit's going to be our tutor as we read. But we have to be in fellowship with him. And so it's important that we say, well, what is the fear of the Lord? Well, it's obviously my obedience to his law. Those go hand in hand. If we don't fear the Lord, then we're not obeying the Lord. Number two, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, and this one's important because I think we get asked a lot about this. The fear of the Lord realizes God's judgments. It realizes God's judgments. You know, I'm asked a lot by unbelievers and even some baby Christians, how is it that you say God is a God of love, but he judges, that there's judgment, that there's a righteous judgment from him? How do you explain that? How do you explain the Old Testament? Well, see, they really don't know the Old Testament. They don't really know who God is. But if you're just an outsider looking in, you can see that. But when we truly fear the Lord, we understand, we recognize his judgments. Because why? Well, his holy and righteous character. He cannot compromise his holiness. He's a thrice holy God. And so judgment is just a natural result of God's character. It's not that he has a desire just to wipe us all out, but it's that we truly understand that he's holy, and our approach to him must be in the manner that he tells us. Because does God ever excuse our sin? Does he ever just sweep it under the rug and say, hey, it's okay, it's not a big deal? No, I mean, that's the last thing that the Bible teaches. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is that the penalty for sin has been paid. That's what God's word teaches. And if we miss that, we'll never enter into the relationship that God has for us, because all of God's wrath against sin, Jesus already endured on the cross. He endured it all. Despising the shame. His wrath, God's wrath, was it against his son? No, it was against all sin, past, present, and future. That's a debt that has already been paid. And so since the judgment of God has already been brought against sin, there's only one option. We're rather going to accept what Jesus did and say, yes, I want that gift of salvation. I want the righteousness of God so I can have access to him. Or we're not. We're not going to trust in him. And so the judgment of God is not something that's characteristic of how mean God is or that he doesn't love people. That's not what it is at all. It's that we have a God that is incapable of certain things like lying, and he's also incapable of compromising his holiness. King David said this in Psalm 119:121. He says, "My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid," he says, "of your judgments." I just want to spend a little bit of time here because, like I said, I think the judgment of God is very misunderstood. Again, his holy and righteous character is always going to bring judgment, but this is something that David learned actually early on in his reign. And I think it's really beautiful because in 2 Samuel we see that David being anointed of the king of Israel at the age of 30. And during that time, the things that God did through him were unbelievable. I mean, you read it and you just go, wow, what an awesome God. You know, and so the military victories that he had, God blessed him through it. They were amazing. This is a time when the king of Tyre was actually sending building materials, master craftsmen, masons to actually build a home for David. So things are going really well. And it says in 5:10, so David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And so then, as you remember, they take the ark and they put it on that new cart. And they're singing and they're playing instruments and they're celebrating. And then a man by the name of Uzzah, just trying to stabilize the cart or the ark there when the oxen's shifted, God struck him dead because of his error, that violation. Immediately, he died. And it says in 2 Samuel 6:9 through 11, David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. And he had just conquered that city. And it says, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. And so when David sees that the household of the Hittite is being blessed, because why? The ark is there. This is what he says. He says, and so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces and he sacrificed oxen and a fatted sheep. So he had to wait and see. Okay, it's been 3 months. Now let's let him take 6 paces. Let's see what happens. He was a man who understood God's judgments, you see. And then it says, then David danced. He danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Listen, obedience to the Lord always comes before sacrifice. We have to be obedient unto him to be able to approach him. It has to be done in his way. The youth are learning that tonight, and with Leviticus 10, I think they're studying. Oh, Aaron's sons, two of them, Nadab and Abihu, made a big mistake when they didn't understand the holiness of God. And even though God had told them exactly how things were supposed to be, they ignored that and they were judged. But when we really fear the Lord, man, we realize his judgments. We understand that it's not because he hates us. It's because he loves us. It's because it's actually the natural response to the holy, righteous character of God. Sin will be judged in his presence. Number three, when we talk about our emotional response unto the Lord in dealing with fear, the fear of the Lord recognizes his anger. When we truly fear the Lord, we recognize that God is angry at times and that he does judge sin. It says in Psalm 2:10 through 12, "Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. The fear of the Lord, it recognizes his anger. I love this psalm because it's a messianic psalm right there in the Old Testament. This is a gospel, the gospel message. Notice that when I read, it says not kiss the Father, but it says kiss the Son. I love to point that out to my Jewish friends who aren't so sure that the Messiah is mentioned in the Old Testament. This is one of my favorite places to bring them. It says, kiss the Son, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. So when we are properly relating to God, then we understand and we recognize his anger. That's just part of it. And it is important for us to see, because really we see God's insurmountable love behind his judgments and his anger. It's because he desires to have fellowship with us. Number four, the fear of the Lord also remembers God's holiness. Man, this is important. It remembers God's holiness. Psalm 96:9 says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness," meaning separate from all else. "Tremble before him, all the earth." And so when we truly remember that our God is a holy God, we understand, I mean, how separate he is from sin. Listen, we'll tremble. Because God's holiness demands something. It demands that your sin and my sin is dealt with. Why? Because that is the only way that we can have fellowship with him. 1 Peter 1:13 through 19 tells us, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest hope fully upon the grace of God that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And it tells us how, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. So we don't go back to how we were before we were unbelievers, when we were ignorant and we didn't know any better. We don't do that at all. It says, "But as he who called you is" what? "Holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for" what? "I am holy." Only one of you knew it. I want to see the rest after service for prayer. It says, "And if you call on the Father without partiality, judges according to each one's work," it says, "to conduct yourself throughout your time of your stay here in fear." Let me read that again. "Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, our God is holy. And when we truly fear him, we recognize that we serve a thrice holy God. Another response, a proper emotional response when we're fearing the Lord too, is we respond to his mercy. We respond to his mercy. You know, I love God's grace, but I really love God's mercy, because it holds back for me everything that I deserve. And I tell you, we deserve punishment. We deserve hell. We really do. It's only by God's insurmountable grace and his sacrifice that, like I said, we even have access to the Father. But listen, if we didn't have an issue, there wouldn't be a need for God's mercy. Amen? And we need to see that. So God has that mercy for us, but we have to respond to God's mercy. We have to understand what it is. Lamentations 3:22 through 24 says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his passions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." So our approach to God is with what? It's with fear. It's with trembling, because I recognize our need for his mercy. Without it, I'm going to be consumed. Without it, I'm hopeless. I could never even have an opportunity to approach God if it wasn't for his mercy, and his holiness would just wipe us out. Isn't God good that we can approach him, that we have access to him, that we're not like the Israelites and they said, "Where's God?" And you point there, "Well, he's over there. Can you go talk to him?" "Well, no." "What about the high priest?" "Well, once a year he can go into the Holy of Holies." But man, the process just to approach God. And how we take, and I know I take for granted too often, that at any time, in any place, at any hour, I can simply bow my head in prayer and be at the throne room of grace before God. Don't ever forget that access that we have when we fear Him. And when we truly fear the Lord, we rest on God's protection. We rest on God's protection. Psalm 34, 4 through 7 says this, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all, not some, delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all his troubles. In a verse we all know, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. So when we truly are fearing the Lord, when we're seeking Him, listen, that delivers us from all of our fears. The fear of man we know is a trap. But when we're truly trusting in the Lord, when we truly fear Him, what happens? The fear of man's removed from my heart. Why? Because I have the fear of the Lord. Fascinating. So a child of God, brothers and sisters, guys, we can rest in God's protection. It says the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, we need to remember that every day. It's so easy to be intimidated by man, and we've talked a lot about that last week, and I won't go into more detail. But it's easy to stop trusting in the Lord when you think, man, my boss hates me. He's going to fire me. He hates Christians. Or all the different things that you're going to. It's so easy to go into that fear, and what happens? It's an emotional trap, and we stop doing something. We stop trusting the Lord. So anytime we're not fully trusting the Lord, we probably are fearing man. That's just, it goes hand in hand. The fear of the Lord, too, it relies on God's provision. It relies on His provision. I was thinking about that as I read an account of a young mother and her two children who were hiding in a bomb shelter in Ukraine, and they'd gone several days without food, and they were finally able to escape. And when they did, she says that her little son now, who's 3 or 4, I can't remember, hides food around the house. And he asked, my mother said, honey, why are you doing that? And he said, well, I'm afraid that we're going to run out of food. And so I know that we're going to have food tomorrow because I've hid it in 3 different places. It breaks my heart. And we sit and we can't decide what to eat when we open our refrigerator or pantry. And then I look at that mother by herself with her 2 kids huddled in the basement, not even able to sleep with bombs going off, being attacked for no reason. But when you and I fear the Lord, we can face those things because we start resting in God's provision. It says in Psalm 34, 8 through 11, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. That's where our true happiness is found. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. And He says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You see, if we fear the Lord, He takes care of us. He provides. It opens up the door for Him to do that. Like I said, He can't compromise His holiness, but when we're fearing Him, when we're trusting in Him, listen, He'll send the ravens to feed us. He will constantly provide us with every good thing. We're not going to lack anything. That's what fearing the Lord is. So if fearing man is the expected result of not fearing the Lord, that means fearing the Lord is the exact same thing as trusting the Lord. So when I fear Him, what happens? I start trusting Him. And when I start trusting Him, I start relying on His word and His promises. And I know God's going to provide. Whether the economy goes belly up or, you know, we have a ton of money and the economy's great, it's the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, that says makes a man rich. So it's not about monetary wealth. It's not how much we have in our bank account or how little we have. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. So our blessings, our provision comes from Him. And so those are the proper responses, the proper emotional responses that we will see in a believer's life when they are truly fearing the Lord, when they're truly trusting the Lord. Like I said, fearing the Lord, we learn, is the same thing as trusting the Lord. It's very, very fascinating. But fearing the Lord also is actually an essential requirement. It's an essential requirement. Yes, it's a proper emotional response, but it is an essential requirement, the fear of the Lord, in our relationship with Him. We will never have a true intimate relationship with the one true living God if we do not fear Him. We can't leave the fear of the Lord out of our relationship with Him. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. I could have just said that verse last week and said, this is all you need to know on fear, praise God, and it would have been sufficient. It's really the truth. It says, fear God and keep His commandments. That is man's all. In Proverbs 24:21, it says, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Don't associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin those two can bring. So important. So fearing God is a command. It's not an option. I can read that and say, well, wait a second. Fear God and keep His commandments? Is that an option in my life? No. So fearing God is an essential requirement in our life, is a commandment and essential requirement in our relationship with Him. And it's also, fearing God is actually connected with the knowledge of God. We're really, quite frankly, quite stupid when we're not walking in God's wisdom. We really are. The Bible teaches that we're really stupid when we are not fully trusting the Lord. Because why? Well, the fear of the Lord is directly connected with His knowledge. We're not going to have it without that. Proverbs 1:7, which is the theme of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I like 2:5. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's when we are truly smart, is when we're fearing the Lord. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So over and over and over in God's Word, it tells us that fear of the Lord, fearing the Lord, is directly connected with the knowledge of God. It's directly connected with God's wisdom. We will never walk in the wisdom that God has for us if we don't fear Him. We can go and ask Him all we want, but if we don't ask in faith, like James says, well, what's going to happen? Nothing. And you don't have faith in God if you don't fear God. When you know Him, listen, you trust in Him, you realize that He is the provider. He's the one who sustains all things. That's what wisdom is. It's the application of God's holiness in all we think, all we say, and all we do. We learn that it's an asset that we're to pursue that is more or is greater than any of the silver, any of the gold, any of the rubies, anything that's found in this earth. It's greater. And that wisdom, it's actually a divine attribute of God that we know from Proverbs 8 predates creation and was there with God as a master craftsman. And God says, I have that for you if you'll just trust in me. If you'll come to me in faith and you'll ask. And we can have that ability to discern between good and evil so we can truly understand what God has for us in this life. It's an essential requirement in our relationship with Him. Number three, if we're truly fearing the Lord too, it's actually going to be controlled by something. It's going to be controlled by a hatred of sin. It will be controlled by a hatred of sin. Proverbs 3:7-8 tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and what? Depart from evil. Why? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It'll be where our vitality is. When we fear the Lord, it says in 8:13, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, ignorance, or arrogance. I'm sorry, He doesn't hate ignorance. Aren't you glad? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, God says, I hate. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means that we hate sin, not the sinner. It bothers us. And I was thinking about this. You know, I remember trying to watch movies my mother and I with my father. That's a challenging thing to do, okay? I just want you to know. First off, he doesn't read so well. No, that's not why. Just want to see if you're listening. And so what would happen, you'd be watching something and he'd get upset and leave. I don't want to watch this. And I said, what is the problem? Well, they're obviously setting this couple here, I could tell you that they're going to have an affair. I don't want to see this filth. I don't want to see adultery, especially in my home. And I'd say, Dad, it's a movie. What is the problem? Well, let me tell you, 10 years plus in ministry, spend one day in the counseling chamber of a pastor here, that'll change your view. It will. It'll humble you. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to get rid of it in our lives. It's to not tolerate it. And the closer that we get to Him, listen, I can't watch that stuff either. Even if it's dry, I don't want to watch adultery. It breaks my heart. I'm just being honest. The closer that we get to Him, we see those things. It's like, I don't want that junk. I don't want it around. If you're a parent, I don't want it around my kids. I don't want it in the home. I don't want anything that normalizes sin. Why? Because I fear God. And when I fear God, listen, it gives me that desire, that passion to do all things that are pleasing unto Him and to remove sinful practices from my life. Proverbs 16:6 says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So without a sincere fear of the Lord in our hearts, you and I will sin, loved one. We will fall into the trap of sin every time because there has to be a fear of the Lord. Proverbs 23:17-18, I like this one. It says, do not let your heart envy sinners. Do you ever do that? Do you look at people and say, you know, God, they are doing everything opposite of you. Why are they being blessed? Don't worry, God's at work. He says, don't let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord. How often? It says, all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, our citizenship is not on this planet. It is in heaven. And this is, life is but a vapor here. It's temporary. And the closer that we get to the Lord, the more we should have a desire to focus on things that are eternal. Not things that are temporary. Not things that are passing away. So the fear of the Lord, it is commanded. It is connected with the knowledge of God Himself. So if I'm not fearing the Lord, there's not wisdom in my life. There's no knowledge of God. It's actually controlled by a hatred of sin. But also the fear of the Lord is characterized by strong confidence and trust. The fear of the Lord is characterized by strong confidence and trust. Where did the strong confidence, where did the trust in that 85-year-old man named Daniel when he was thrown in that lion's den, where did that come from? Or what about even David when he was just a teenager and he went up against Goliath when everyone else was afraid of the enemy, afraid of the Philistines? What was it in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego after they've lost everything, been stripped of their homeland, even their identity and their names are changed? But that didn't change their hearts. It didn't change who they were. They were still obedient to God's word. Were they respectful of King Nebuchadnezzar? You better believe it. Humble, respectful, even the dietary restrictions. You say, oh, king, if you'll permit. I mean, why? Because they knew that they served the one true living God. That's why. It wasn't because they were so great, but it was because God is so great. And that they truly feared Him. And when we do, that confidence and that trust will be in us. Simply because we fear the Lord. It says in Proverbs 3:25-26, do not be afraid of sudden terror. There's a lot of sudden terror right now. We even said that 2020 was listed as the most stressful year on record. And that the American Psychological Association said that rampant anxiety is at an all-time high. Why? Sudden terror. Things happen. A pandemic. A war. Uncertainty. Fear of the unknown. But it says, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Why? For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Praise God. It says in 14:26 that in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. So when we truly fear the Lord, it brings a confidence of refuge. I wanted to talk just about a confidence of refuge tonight and trusting in the Lord. You know what I mean? But the Lord said no. And I'm afraid of him. When we fear the Lord, that confidence of refuge does something. It removes that threat. It removes the intimidation from the wicked ones, from the ones who operate in the demonic realm, who don't know the Lord. What does that do? When we trust in him, when we fear him, it removes that from us. It says in 19:23 that the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. That's a beautiful promise there in Proverbs 19:23. If you and I will simply fear the Lord, he'll protect us. He will be our strong confidence and trust. We don't have to be afraid of men. We don't have to be afraid of circumstance. We know that those are all emotional traps. But when we fear the Lord, he says, oh, thank you. Now put your confidence, put your trust in me, and hold on for the ride, because God's going to do great and mighty things through you and through all of his children. Why? Because what he starts, he finishes. That work that he started in you, he is going to complete it until he calls us home. And I believe that. Number five, the fear of the Lord is actually compared to wealth, honor, and life. Wealth, honor, and life are directly connected, according to God's word, with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares, from the traps of death. I like 15:16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. See, it's better to have the fear of the Lord than all the treasure of Solomon. Far better. It says in 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. So the fear of the Lord is always connected or compared to wealth and honor in life. Even in Proverbs, isn't it 31:30, when it says, beauty or charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised or honored. Fearing the Lord is always related to being honored. Because when we fear him, man, we're in his will. And we're doing all things that pleasing unto him. And the fear of the Lord, too, it's actually contrasted. Remember in Proverbs, since we're dealing with Hebrew poetry, the poetic device that's most commonly used is that of contrast. Major contrast. That's how they get the point. And so the fear of the Lord, when we talk about that, it is the exact opposite of disobedience. The fear of the Lord is the exact opposite of a lack of conviction, not being convicted because of sin in our hearts. Just like I said last week, Abraham, a true believer, a righteous man, even saw that there was no fear of God there when he was with King Abimelech. And he said, surely I thought the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. So even Abraham, because he feared the Lord, recognized in a pagan society, his chances of being murdered were great. Why? Because there was no fear of God. Think about that. Man, that is a scary thing. I don't like to be in places where there's no fear of the Lord, unless he directly tells me to go. Amen? Because there's places it's like, Lord, you would have to tell me to go. I'll go. But I'm not going to walk in an area like that unless he directs me. It's very, very important. Proverbs 13:13 says, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. So if we're living a life of willing sin, it's evidence that we truly are not trusting in the Lord. Number seven, when we talk about the essential requirements in our relationship to God, the fear of the Lord is committed to a godly lifestyle. It's committed to living a godly life. Proverbs 14:2 says, he who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. So the believer who truly fears the Lord, they're going to have something. They're going to have a godly lifestyle. They're going to have a desire to do all things that are pleasing unto Him. They want to be obedient to God in all of their ways. Like 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness, it says, in the fear of God. So Paul there tells us something. He said, the reason that we cleanse ourselves is because of these promises. What promises is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the promises in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. He had just been talking about Christians are to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And he says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now here's the promise. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The number one reason that you and I cleanse ourselves is because we're children of the King. We are no longer our own. We've been bought at a price. And we have an accountability and a responsibility under the one true living God who cannot compromise His holiness. So we have to recognize His holiness and believe in exactly who He is. And Paul said that we have these promises. So let us do something. Therefore, cleanse ourselves. Think about that. And this is in the middle voice, so this is actually something that we do. It's not something that God does to us. You know, you always look in the Greek hoping that God's going to do it all. Well, this one's our responsibility. It tells us to cleanse ourselves. That means something. That means we can change. That means that our lives can be different. That means our homes can be godly. They can be a home that's filled with Him, and therefore it will be filled with peace, because peace is in a person, not a place. And all those things come together when you and I simply fear the Lord. You see, filthiness of the flesh refers to the things that we do, that's our actions. But when it says in spirit, you see, that refers to attitudes. It refers to the disposition, the character of our hearts. You see, our reputation is simply what others know us to be, but our character, that's what really matters, because that's who God knows us to be. It's not what others think about us. And the end result of us cleansing ourselves, it's arriving finally at what God wants us to be. It's having that intimate fellowship and communion with Him. It's truly recognizing and understanding the calling as a minister, because we're all ministers. Understanding the calling and the importance of it in our lives. God wants us to be holy in His sight because He loves us. And it is the only way that He can have fellowship with us. Why? Because He cannot compromise His holiness. Without the righteousness of God, listen, we would be as dead as Uzzah. It's the truth. We couldn't even stand before Him. But because of His mercies, as I said earlier, we are not consumed. But what is that product that we see in our lives when we're truly fearing the Lord? It's holiness. It's the work of God in our lives. We're being set apart. And this is, like I said, it's about character. This is about who you are in the dark. And I ask myself and I ask all of us, are you truly fearing the Lord? Do you truly recognize Him as the one true living God? Because this battle is won, Christian, in the most secret place of our hearts, in the inner depths, the part that only you and only God know about. The Lord says, cleanse yourselves. Get rid of that junk in your life. Get rid of gossip and anger and pride and immorality. Get rid of those things. Cleanse yourselves. But also, Make sure your heart's right. Make sure that it's sincere. Make sure that the character, which is what really matters, is what God would have it to be. Do we sin? Absolutely. But we run to the throne of grace and we ask repentance. We're no longer have to be slaves of sin. That's who we were in the past, but we can put off that former conduct. Why? Because of God's mercy, His grace, and the sacrifice that His Son made on the cross, enduring that sin, paying the penalty for it. So we didn't have to. So we have that option to accept Him or face the judgment. That's what it means to truly fear the Lord. It's getting rid of those sinful practices in our lives. It's time to clean house. If we truly want a revolution in this church, it starts in our hearts. It starts in our homes. Recognizing that every aspect of our lives revolve around Him, and that everything else really doesn't matter. No matter what we're facing, no matter if it's a lack of provision, or maybe it's a situation at work, it doesn't matter. Because when you fear the Lord, you trust the Lord. And that removes in your heart the fear of man. Listen, fear is a thief. It'll steal so much from us. You know, it says in Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for the Lord, for those who fear the Lord and meditate on His name. You know, I've been asked a few times since last week, they said, we'd really like to know what your fear is, Thomas. And I have too many to mention. Biggest fear has always been public speaking. But I fear the Lord a lot more than you guys. One of my greatest fears is missed opportunities. And I'm not talking about opportunities in this life. I'm talking about opportunities to serve the Lord, to be obedient unto Him, to reach Him, to reach people. I remember a time when there was a young lady with special needs sitting over there in the office lobby. And I asked her how she was doing. She's a precious, precious girl. And she said, you know, I'm a little depressed. And I tried to encourage her and said, hey, you have no reason to be impressed. God loves you. You're a beautiful girl. You know, just encouraging her. She had a hard life. She'd graduated high school. But a week later, that girl took her life because of that depression. And since that day, is it just being honest with you, opening my heart, I have a huge fear of missing an opportunity to give the truth of God's Word, the comfort of His Spirit, to anyone that He would give me an opportunity to share. We miss so many opportunities that God has for us in this life because of fear. Whether we're afraid we don't have time to do it or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But that always results. The fear of man and what? Not trusting the Lord, but fearing the Lord always results in trusting Him. Don't miss the opportunities that God has for you in this life. Listen, it's not about being in a pulpit. It's about being in the person of the Holy Spirit. He can use a gas station attendant more than some evangelist I've seen. Why? Because they fear the Lord. You don't fear the Lord, listen, nothing's going to be right in our lives. We'll never accomplish anything that He has for us. Why? Because we're not in fellowship with Him if we do not fear Him. That is a proper emotional response to God, and it's also an essential requirement in our relationship with Him. We never truly grow in the Lord until we fear Him, all His saints. Amen? Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dearly Father, I just thank You for this time. Lord, help us to fear You. Lord, it's so easy to be ruled by our emotions, by what we see, by the things the wicked speak over us and the lies. But Father God, when we fear you, every aspect of our lives fall into place. We start to truly walk with you and learn from you. Because we know, Father God, you're the one who wants to carry the load. You're the one who wants to carry our burden. As we just simply put our trust in you, we fear you, and we learn to walk with you. Lord, let us realize how short the time that we have is. We don't even know, Father God, if you're going to call us home tomorrow. Lord, we could be called home tonight. But let us never pass an opportunity to tell someone of the goodness of Jesus Christ, to tell them about a love that never fails, that can't be found in this world because it's only from you, because you are love. Lord, just remove the fear of man and circumstance and the world and of evil and the enemy and of death. Remove that from your people in this house tonight. Let them truly understand the joy of walking in the fear of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we just thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening?